for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken, right here on Pickup Country 104.9 FM, streaming live at listenlikealocal.com or on your mobile device with the free WSKV app for Android and Apple users. Tonight's program is made possible in part by Whitaker Bank, Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Powell County CSEP, Mercy Health, Appalachian Wireless, Citizens Guarantee Bank, Clark Regional Medical Center, Hinkle Contracting, Davis & Davis Funeral Home, Toyota South, Ace Hardware & Feed, People's Exchange Bank, Teddy Flint, Attorney at Law, Whitaker Insurance Group, Protect Security & Fire Systems, and Apex Network Physical Therapy. Let's join Ken and Dave for PCSN Live from the Stanton Studio.
And good evening and welcome to another edition of PCSN Live with Dave and Kent here on WSKV 104.9 FM. Again, it is it's a cool night. It's cooler than I think the forecast called for, but not as rainy today here, at least in Stanton, as it was forecasted to be. So I guess all in all, not a bad December first night.
I'm kind of shocked that we didn't have any rain today. Well, especially the way that the clouds were, rolling in, and I guess the rain just decided to stay up in the clouds.
Well, it was maybe too dry here. Just didn't really happen. There's some rain on the radar we can see down in southern Kentucky and what's going off in eastern Kentucky. I just don't think we're going to get anything here tonight. So looks like the rain event, at least for here, is going to be a really light rain, if anything. I mean, we got a little bit of a sprinkle there in Roslyn, Kentucky. I don't know what they got here in Stanton. I wouldn't think it was much more than that. I don't know what was that. When I was out earlier, there was no rain going on. So, again, I think a light sprinkle is all we got today. So, again, not much on the rain front, but on the COVID front, it's a little bit less unclear, I guess.
A little different. I'm actually going to start off with some state numbers here. Today, December the 1st, 3,312 new cases in Kentucky. When you look at the positivity rate, 8.56%. We've not seen those numbers in a while.
About a month ago, it was down less than 5 or right at 5 at the most. Yeah,
it was under 5 under those circumstances. So the fact that the rate is actually going up, and the case count. And then when we look at Powell County here, when we go back and look at their numbers, let me get myself squared away here. Let's go back a week ago. There were 72 active cases on November the 23rd. They had 16 new cases and 12 that were released. So 72 total cases. Then when we go back to this Monday, because obviously because of the holiday, the numbers didn't come out until Monday. At that point, it was 71 active cases. So we didn't necessarily, not a lot changed in a sense, going back to, again, on the 23rd through the 29th, just one additional case. But then when we turn around and we get to Tuesday, the number jumped up to 85 total cases. That was 27 new cases and 8 were released from isolation. And then today, 29 new cases, 14 released from isolation, bringing the total active count here in Powell County to 100. Yeah. So we've gained 30 roughly, over a week's time. And I'm not so sure how much of what we're currently seeing is a part of the Thanksgiving Day holiday either.
My assumption on that would be is if it is anything from Thanksgiving, it's just getting started.
Correct.
I mean, that's kind of where I see it. I don't think it hasn't had a week yet. And normally it's at least a 3 or 4 days. So some of these could be a Thanksgiving number uptick, but we were already seeing an uptick in Kentucky for the last few days. I know Governor Beshear got on there and talked about the number was up to 8 a few days ago. I mean, even maybe last week. So there has been a little bit of an increase over the last week, even pre-Thanksgiving holidays. But as the CDC had, and I will say this about the CDC, they have been really Johnny right on. I mean, this entire time, I'm telling you, okay, we're going to see a surge then. We're going to see another. They have nailed it. And they told us we would see another surge in December. We're starting to see a little bit of that uptick right now. I hope it's not as bad as the earlier uptick we had. where we were really slammed. I know Powell County, 120, 130, 140, I think, at one point in time, was the number of active cases here. But 100 is the largest since that all got over with. We've never been under 25 since in the last probably 6 months.
I mean, agreed, yeah.
We've been in a really a precarious position here. We've been one of the highest case count per capita in the state of Kentucky for a couple months. And, you know, we're seeing activities inside increase with the ball game starting up. Again, we had opening day for the girls last night. Opening day for the boys was at Morgan County. Not sure what the fan base looked like at Morgan, but just looking at the fans we had last night with Powell County Lafayette, it's a pretty good crowd. And you got middle school events going on, have been going on for a couple of weeks. And that's even a smaller, more compactive environment, if you will, here in the county. And if you, and the number of people we saw last night from our vantage point that were unmasked, if somebody comes in to those buildings and doesn't have symptoms, and you are, I promise, you are in close enough proximity to someone to be able to pass it. And with people that are not protecting themselves or others by not wearing the mask, I don't know. It's a risky venture. And I just think the numbers will keep increasing. I know we had the long break to kind of try to get over the numbers that we were having at the time. I just don't see it going to get a lot better here. I don't see it getting better before Christmas break. And we're still going to have activities and we're still going to have functions going on. I think the number is going to increase throughout the rest of this month.
I would agree with that. And then earlier today, the first Omicron variant California. In the United States, exactly, out in California. And there's no telling, obviously, when you get to these variants, they spread so fast. Not that he's not isolated in a sense, but it goes back to who else was he in contact with. And, you know, exponentially, those numbers start to increase and spread.
Well, the good thing about the one case in California, they caught it fairly quickly. He was actually in
South Africa.
He was in South Africa when he came back. And I think he was already isolated. I think they isolated the whole group. He was tested positive for the variant, but was already self-isolating. And hopefully that was it. But, again, it takes 2 or 3 days at least before you start showing any signs or symptoms, and that's on a minimum. So if he was in contact with others en route and they weren't self, then yeah, you're going to see an uptick. It doesn't always just stay at one and be over. You know, something else I saw today was really, really interesting. The HIV count, which was, we don't talk about HIV anymore, but they're seeing a huge increase in HIV cases. Not that it has anything to do with, obviously, with Corona, but it just shows you that people forget and start forgetting to protect themselves, and numbers go up. And that's just kind of how all this stuff takes place. Let your guard down just a little bit, and we're talking about a different infection. But again, it's an infection now that is controllable for the most part, to one that is not really controllable. I mean, the first medication was rapidly approved by the FDA to be able to treat some of the symptoms. But again, the best case for treatment is being vaccinated. And I just don't see the numbers over 60% now. But I don't know how they count that. I don't know if it's counted like, okay, did you get a booster? Did you get your second shot? How many of those are complete vaccinations or boosters versus new people getting vaccinated? I'm not sure where the numbers are as far as that goes either.
Yeah, you would almost think that there would be some type of data that would show that, like, this is the percent that have the one shot, the second shot, the booster shot, and therefore all of those, you know, you have different statistical numbers for each one of them.
I'm sure they have a number out there, and I just probably overlook it, but just something you don't see. And then on the flip side of this, with the home test now, with the Corona home test, you got people testing positive, and they're likely to be positive if they're testing positive on the test, but that don't go get it validated by the health department or by a doctor's office and get tested. And those numbers are not going to be submitted anywhere unless you self-submit, which I find that highly doubtful, that people would self-submit for the most part. I think some do. But I think the people that are self-submitting are probably just, I'm going to go make sure it's valid. Won't have the test tomorrow. And if it's valid, they'll submit it, and I'll be at the house and make the call with the health department, whatever we need to do. But those are the responsible folks. And I just don't think, apparently there's not a lot of responsible people out here if we're going to keep it going like we are.
Well, I think on one hand, too, I think when you look at people who potentially will even report to the health department, et cetera, or to their place of employment, sometimes I think people will wait a long time before they do that, and or they won't necessarily let people know, oh, guess what, so-and-so tested positive, whatever, you were around them without a mask for X amount of time or whatever else.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not so sure that at this point in time that people are even following that protocol.
Well,
I think we've just let our guard down, and it's we know it's out there, but it's just like, you know.
We know it's out there. We know they tell us there are going to be the surges. They know that when indoor activities in the winter start, it's going to go up. If we watch anything at all in the media, then that's out there for anybody and everybody to see. And if you're unaware of that, then you're probably under a rock somewhere. If not, we'll tell you here on PCSN Live. Plan to listen to sports, get a lecture from me on COVID. But I'm not the best on wearing masks like in here. I don't wear one in here all the time. You're a lot better than I am.
I've just gotten used to it, to be honest with you.
Well, I mean, but I tell people all the time, I'm going to try to protect others, and, you know, I don't do a really necessarily a good job all the time. I feel a little bit comfortable just because I'm vaccinated, and probably shouldn't, because my wife and daughter both had COVID, and they've both been vaccinated, and they had a lot of signs and symptoms, but not as serious as they probably would have been had they not been vaccinated. So, you feel bad for these folks that have been quarantined for countless times because of contacts, because they're not vaccinated. But it is what it is. I mean, it may cost some people their jobs, because some businesses probably say, okay, that's your second COVID quarantine and you've only been working for 2 months. You know, maybe you're not ready to work here. You know, go get vaccinated so you haven't have to worry about all this. But, I don't know what all the other jobs are. I know at the school system, if you are vaccinated and you come in contact, unless you show signs or symptoms yourself, then you're good to go. If you have been vaccinated, you have to go home for 10 to 14 days. So it's a little severe. And, you know, our kids now going through they go testing.
Oh, test to stay.
Test to stay, we've talked about that before. And I'm not sure how effective that is because of the lag time and the kids in school. I mean, I get it. I get you're trying to not quarantine as many kids, and I'm good with that. I know it's an attempt to do better, but still there's a downside to that. There's a bit of a risk factor there because there's a little lag time for test results.
Well, and even going back to the false positives and false negatives.
Yeah.
I mean, at that point, someone could test the statement like, okay, you're good to go. And all of a sudden you come back, and then 2 days later, it's like, oh, well, Tommy and Susie, you're not necessarily feeling well. Oh, wait, they got tested. Oh, now they have it. And now that opens a whole new can of worms as far as the contact tracing and that kind of thing.
Well, when we were all tested at the house, you know, we found out that if you take the rapid test and you don't have any signs or symptoms, if you have been vaccinated, it's only 30% accurate. If you are showing signs and symptoms, it's pretty much going to tell you what you need to know. But without the PCR test, you're not sure that you don't have it. I mean, 30%, if you take a test and you score a 30, you failed.
Yeah.
So, to me, unless you are showing signs or symptoms when you're tested, you have a high chance of getting a false negative. And people will probably take that to the bank and say, well, I'm good. Well, the test was a fail, so you don't know if you're good or not until you can do the PCR. But, again, that takes a few days to get the results back. So, again, the lag time is still problematic, and that the test not showing if it's the positive, if you're not showing signs or symptoms, that's kind of a little alarming. But again, it is what we've got. It's a new thing. We're doing all we can as a people, but it's still got some problems, and that's one of the reasons the numbers stay so high.
Well, and obviously it continues to, I don't want to say kind of go through the cracks in a sense, but on one hand, it's like you feel like as a community we're making progress, and then it turns around and all of a sudden it's like, whoop, nope, we're going right back the other direction, and we kind of come down a little bit, and things look like they're trending down, then all of a sudden you get that swing, and it goes right back again. We can't get rid of it. And that's the unfortunate part, that, you know, like the flu in a sense, you know, obviously there's kind of is that time period where all of a sudden it kind of goes away, if you will. With this, there's not been any
real
getaway.
We have a season with the flu. Call it a seasonal flu.
Right.
This isn't seasonal. This is, now I do think you will see peaks in certain seasons that are worse than others. But to me, this thing is not going to run its course. And I would like to see a graph at some point, maybe somebody will show me one. Per capita, I would like to see where Powell County has remained after the summer spike that we had. I'd like to see where we've been, because I think we've been at the top of the list for several months. And that's, to me, I think we're an educated county. And that's scary, because if I say that, then your numbers shouldn't be as high. And I just think people really just kind of take it for granted and really don't worry about it as much. And I think we did have another death here in Powell County here in the last week. So, those are tragic and could have been preventable maybe. And that's what you hope for. And again, I wish we could kick it out. It's not going anywhere. We just got to get the number down. And we haven't done a good job here in Powell County of getting that number. Like I said, we have been below 25 since the summer, early summer. And, I would have loved to get that number. I was so proud there for a long time. We didn't have any cases in Powell County. We were a zero for a long time. And then now we're one of the highest per capita counties in the state of Kentucky for several months.
Well, and even going back to, you know, the ball game, and we'll transition into sports here in just a minute our next break.
Promise.
But at that point, I was going to say that the number of people who were not wearing their mask and who were not social distancing, it's completely dropped off.
Yeah.
It's almost like the mentality of being a teenager and you think you're invincible, right? We all had that mindset, right? Nothing can get in your way. You know what I'm saying? You're a bull in a china shop. Just, you're going to barrel on through. And I think that people have gotten to that point where it's just like, it's not going to affect me. It's not going to bother me. It's not going to affect my family or whatever else. And we've let that guard down without thinking this is serious. We need to continue to take it serious. And there's no sense in not wearing the mask and social distancing and doing the things that we need to do with that we know are beneficial. Washing your hands, sanitizing, etc.
Yeah, we work in a school system where when we're at school, we're the adults. And the kids, unless the adults are willing to say, look, you need to wear your mask, stay protected, do the hygiene things that you're supposed to do, unless we're all in to help with that, then we've got a problem. As a society, because we're not being good role models to our kids to say, look, get your mask on, be consistent. That's one thing that should happen in every school building in the county. But I'm not sure even the educators are, we're kind of wore down with this. But I can go back a couple of seasons ago when baseball, softball, track didn't have a season. We weren't nearly as bad as we are now. Not even in the same league. We're not even close. But we're 2 years away from that now. And we still are at one of the highest points that Powell County's ever been. And somebody's got to step up in the county and say, look, we've got to do better. And I haven't really heard that. I haven't heard that kind of fear and angst in anybody to just where they would say that. And I just think, I know it's the wrong thing to say, but I mean, people got to go out there and take care of yourself, be responsible for what your actions are. But you also got to step up and be a leader of some kind and say, look, we got to do better what we're doing.
Again, I think it goes back to the fact that there's a lot of people who still think that it's not a thing.
Agreed.
There's also a lot of people who think that the masks don't work. Mm-hmm. So therefore, guess what? I'm not going to wear the mask. I'm not going to social distance because I don't believe that way. I'm not saying I don't. I'm just saying in general, that group of people.
They're there.
So exactly. They are there. So therefore, guess what they're going to do? They're not going to walk into the stores with their mask. They're not going to social distance. They're not going to go to the games and wear their mask and social distance. They're not going to do that because, however you want to look at it, they don't think that, again, it's going to affect them.
Yeah, and I'll slip up. I'll go into the store sometimes, and I'm going to be in there for like 2 minutes. Maybe not wearing my mask again. I'm getting out of there real quick. If you listen to me on radio, I'll say one thing, but if you see me in the store, I might not have a mask on, but I'm going to make it a really quick trip. And what is it, 8 minutes or 9 minutes? You're supposed to be in direct contact with somebody. I promise you, I'm not going to be around that long to put anybody in jeopardy, or you put me in jeopardy. I'm going to get in and out as quick as I can. If not, I'll just order from Kroger and go to Winchester and pick up my order. I mean, that's just kind of the way we function anymore. But anyway, we'll get to sports. It's been 20 minutes. That's a long time. But the numbers are just way too high. We got to talk about it a little bit here. But we'll go on, step away for a break here on PCSN Live. Be back in a moment. Talk sports.
Protect Security and Fire Systems. Your security is our business. Visit the Fowl County Sports Network page at WSKVFM.com.
With Whitaker Bank's new home equity line of credit, qualified applicants can borrow up to 90% of their home's value with no closing costs. With Whitaker Bank's home equity line of credit, you only pay back 1% of your balance monthly, and you process your withdrawals with Whitaker Electronic Banking. Stop by Whitaker Bank and see how our new home equity line of credit can help you. Whitaker Bank proudly supports your Powell County Pirates. Whitaker Bank is uniquely Kentucky, member FDIC, and an equal housing lender.
Community, what does the word mean to you? Here at Citizens Guaranty Bank, community means everything. It's why we do what we do. As our community grows, we are here to be your helping hand, putting your dreams to work. Our community has very exciting opportunities and challenges. Let us help you build your future and meet the future needs of our community. My name is James Clark, the Powell County Market President here at Citizens Guaranty Bank. At Citizens, we are your hometown bank, and we are here for you because we are you.
Stop by any of our convenient locations in Stanton, Irvin, Berea, Richmond, and London. My money, my bank, my CGB.
Citizens Guaranteed Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender. Qualifications and rules may apply. See institution for details.
Toyota South in Richmond is moving forward. Family owned and operated since 1915. Meet General Manager Charlie Johnson.
I was raised right here in Powell County by my grandparents. They taught me to be honest and treat others with courtesy and respect. And that's what you can expect from me. I would like to personally invite you to take the short drive to Toyota South in Richmond. Whether you're looking for a new or used vehicle, as General Manager at Toyota South, I will make your short drive well worth your time. Come see me soon at Toyota South in Richmond.
Toyota South in Richmond. Online at toyotasouth.com or call their friendly staff at 877-605-4326.
New driveway, parking lot, or large aggregate need? Hinkle Contracting Company specializes in all things crushed aggregate. They provide expert delivery and more, depending on size of application. Call Natural Bridgestone today at 606-663-2815 or Tipton Ridge Quarry at 606-723-4881 or find out more information at hinklecontracting.com. For all of your asphalt and aggregate needs, think Hinkle Contracting Company.
Welcome back to PCSN Live with Dave and Ken, and we will talk sports now.
Let's do that.
We will get back to sports. We covered the Powell County girls last night versus Lafayette. We'll start there. Lafayette was pretty good. Like I said, I'll go back to them real quick. Their defense, the small things, the fundamentals of the way they played defense, and the way they were coached. And you know it's coached down. I mean, those kids can play a little bit. I mean, it's, they got some bigger kids, 6'2", 6'3", their best, I would call her the best player. But man, they had some kids that could really just flat out stop you defensively. And at the same token, they had some kids that could knock down some threes.
Yeah. They did a lot of trapping defensively.
A lot.
They were in a zone. And at that point, when the ball goes on the wing, all of a sudden you've got two defenders right on the ball handler. And at that point, you're making an errant pass or turning the ball over, they're taking it away, jump ball, anything along those lines. And the Lady Pirates just didn't quite have the answer to get through that defensively. You know, they took some really good shots at times, some unfortunate turnovers. Yeah, right, yeah. And then sometimes even with the ball handling, Lafayette pressed. Lady Pirates were having difficulty dribbling, getting around the defenders, making proper passes. You could see a lot of the weaknesses within the Lady Pirates game at this point. But with Lafayette, they were 16-7 last year. Made it all the way to the regional. Yes, yeah. Regional runner-up in the 11th region. Returned all other players with the exception of one player, Anaya Brown, 18-point average last year, scored 22 last night. Again, you mentioned her height. You know, I mean, just tall.
Long. Yes. Very long.
Yeah, very long, and could hit the outside shot as well as inside. Good ball handler. And defensively on that press, she was the player that was in the backcourt, in a sense, that was prepared there for those players.
You know, there are some good players in the 14th region, you know, and one returning player that came back from Owsley County. Other player, she's back. The one criticism I had of her was she didn't use that left hand well. Anaya Brown showed us last night, used left hand, used the right hand. She has length. She has the size. She can shoot the outside shot. She can work inside. That kid is a D1 talent because she can use both hands. She can handle the basketball, work inside, work outside. I can see her being a D1 player somewhere versus a player in the 14th that dominantly has one side, which means there's a way a college can stop you. And that player may have some work to do before they get to where they're at a, quote, D1 level. But you can't coach size. I mean, 6'2", 6'3", and as long as she was, she could change a game inside against just a smaller opponent. And I thought Powell County, you know, kind of bit into their traps. They went to the sideline a lot and went to the wings, which is a definitely entry spot. But when they would set their traps, this is what I really liked about what Lafayette did. When they would set that trap, it wasn't just a trap. They trapped with the sideline.
Correct.
You had one player per side, but you were pinned. You had nowhere to go. They pushed you to the sideline, and they used the sideline as a third defender. It was almost like it was perfection if they got you to go to the spot, and we did too often.
It's almost like they lured them into it.
Yes, we'll give you this opening.
Yeah.
You'll take it. We're going to trap you, and you have nowhere to go. And it caused us all kinds of problems, especially more in the second half, because I think they kind of turned the heat up a little bit more, because they probably talked about it at halftime, like, we can definitely do this now. Let's really trap them hard and set solid trap. And they just really wore us out and made us look really bad. But again, that's a really good team to start the season with. So let's switch back over to positives. There were some good positive moments in the first half. We got the ball inside often. We were able to get the ball to people a little bit easier in the first half. Like I said, the second half, they took it away from us. But we got to get back to where we get the things that we like. The first half, we could get the shots off. The second half, we could not. So videotape the first half. Take your positives from there. Because the second half, I don't think there's a lot of things that you can take positive out of what we saw in the second half.
No field goals the entire second half.
Right.
Now, I don't know when I've attended a game where there were no field goals in a half of basketball, boys or girls. I can't remember. The Lady Pirates only made free throws, and at that point, like 8 out of 12, maybe, something like that.
Yeah, they only shot, 50-some percent from the free throw line.
Yeah, it wasn't a lot, but still, the fact that you're only able to make free throws and you have to be able to at least match you know, field goal for field goal, but they couldn't. They got themselves in an early deficit in that first half. It was 18-9. Lady Pirates came back. It was 18-15. But then all of a sudden, Lafayette closes out the first half, scores the next 4 points. Next thing you know, it's 22-15 at the end of the first quarter.
I think we were, 13 down or maybe more.
It was 13 at halftime.
When they had to bring Caudill and Hall back in, with two fouls apiece. And obviously, if you knew what you knew at the end of the game, you could lift them in the whole time. But I think what Rob did was right to pull him out when he did. It was probably right to put him back in when he did because the barge was getting so big. But they've got a lot of room to grow. And going forward, and this is not going to be a totally negative session, because we knew going in that was going to be a tough game for the Lady Pirates.
Yeah.
You weren't going to win it. It was just, I thought they would look a little bit better than what they did. And they lose by 30, and that's a pretty good loss. Now, going forward, I really don't think they're going to see a team like that in the near future. And we're talking about the first game of the season. So, you know, going forward, I don't think they're going to see a team that's that good defensively. There may be some times where you get more pressure, but, man, out of a zone, that's about as good as you can play a zone is what they did last night. And I just thoroughly enjoyed watching that with Lafayette. And if you're going to learn some things, watch what they did and how they reacted to you guys and go back and look at that film. Go back and watch what they did. And I'm sure your coaches are telling you the same thing. This is how you need to do it if you're going to play a zone. Because fundamentally it was executed just almost to perfection with Lafayette.
And you would think under the circumstance of playing a zone, most people would think, okay, you're probably a 2-3 zone. Mm-hmm. They were playing a 3-2. They had three players out high
and trapping,
exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, again, they ran it to perfection. I'm sure Coach Denton for Lafayette couldn't have been any more pleased in a sense. Not that you can't find things that you can improve on, but ultimately she had to be very pleased with the way that her team performed, especially defensively, and then even offensively. They were hitting their threes, hitting some open shots, getting those 50-50 balls in a sense where the Lady Pirates looked like they would get a extra possession, and all of a sudden, an errant pass or something, Lafayette's going down the other way to end up scoring. But considering it's the first game, sometimes, you know, after you've practiced, and now all of a sudden you have that first game, and you lose like you did, now it's self-reflection time. Okay, mm-hmm. What can we do individually and collectively as a team? They're going to have a tough matchup coming up on Saturday against Leslie County.
Yeah,
early 14th region test.
Yeah, it doesn't get easy on Saturday with Leslie County. You're talking about one of the perennial powers in the 14th the last, I don't know how many years, 10, 11 years. And then, you know, next week, it's not easy next week. Again, this schedule was made because you want to have a competitive team on the floor, and you want to be as good as you can be. And I think with Roger and Robbie, these girls are going to get better. And I believe that. I put my faith in those guys that they're going to do a good job. I know what they're trying to work on, and I think it will pay off, but it may take a little while to get there. Because again, these kids have been in a structured environment where it's been this kind of way for a couple of years. It's going to take a few games to get to understand there's some structure to what they're trying to do, but there's also more freedom. And the girls have got to learn how to play with that freedom and do it successfully.
It's almost like going to college as a freshman, and you go away to college. At that point, you don't realize the freedom that's truly out there until you're on your own like that. Yeah. Sometimes it can be too much. And that may have been the case even last night. You know, again, you practice, and you kind of all of a sudden you have that freedom. And overall, they made good shots.
They took some good shots.
Yeah, they did. I can't say there were necessarily any poor shots in a sense as far as, like, you know, really trying to force things up. A couple of times, but you're hoping to draw a foul.
Yeah.
You know, and obviously with the length.
We've seen that over the last several years. It's not a new thing.
Yeah.
But I think all in all, they took some good choices from their outside shooting. I don't think any of the shots they took, maybe with the exception of one. I can remember one shot was really a rush shot that we took. But overall, out of what, 13, 14 three-point shots we took, I don't remember just maybe the one bad shot, and that was in the second half. But what we've got to do, though, is create the ability to be able to get the shots off quicker. We saw last night where some of our players not even looking at a shot. And I'll say this right here. I won't point anybody out, but if you're not even looking at the basket, you're not a threat. And if you're not a threat, what's your purpose? That's just kind of the way I would say it. If you're all listening, you got to have a purpose on the floor. Either you're a stud defender and you're just a lockdown player defensively, or if you're supposed to be a scorer, you got to find a way to put the ball in the basket and speed up the shot, be a threat. He's at least be in a triple threat position to where you're ready to look at the basket and at least get them to thinking that you're going to shoot. Because I think last night there were times that they knew we weren't shooting and they could play off and defend us another way, and that makes it a different problem for you. So
you're exactly right. Well, I mean, you have to be prepared when you're on offense, catch and shoot.
Catch and shoot.
You have to already be in position in a sense.
But we weren't. That's the key.
They weren't. You're exactly right. They weren't. But you had to put yourself in that position where all of a sudden, I've already got my feet set. I'm ready to go. Just give me that ball, and I'm going to rotate it around, and I'm going to put off that shot.
Yep.
And then sometimes, too, when you're especially on the outside, give a head fake, get the defender to either jump into your side and then drive around them. We didn't necessarily see a lot of driving in the lanes from the Lady Pirates.
We didn't see what you just said, though. We didn't see the shot fake drive.
Correct.
Yeah. We might have saw it like a pass fake drive or a look off, or I'm going to beat you to the basket. We didn't see what you just described, though, in the shot fake drive. It's a totally different picture of that move than what we saw last night. Not a lot of that. I think we will do that later on because I know Rob and Roger both believe in that. Again, if you're going to be a shooter, you got to have a shot fake in the repertoire.
Well, and even a couple of times when they would drive towards the basket using the baseline, you know what I'm saying, on the end. So all of a sudden you're going to the baseline, but now you're trying to penetrate too deep into the defense.
Behind the basket.
Correct. And at that point, though, you at least if you're getting by that initial defender, pull up and take that 15-foot jumper.
The defense is allowing you to go to a point.
Correct.
And I think Lafayette did that to almost perfection last night. They let us go where we couldn't be successful. That's good defense, in my opinion. That's just the way you're supposed to play the game. I thoroughly enjoyed watching that type of defense last night. You know, it's too bad it's against our team, but I'd like to see our girls play that way and just, you know, be able to throw somebody. But more about that. Again, we got the game coming up Saturday.
3:30.
2 and 3:30 are the game times. JV varsity, 2 and 3:30 the game times. So you always know the JV game is going to take about an hour. The varsity game is going to start about 20 minutes after the conclusion of the JV game. So anywhere between, 3:20 and 3:30 should be game time. And we'll have that here on the WSKV and the NFHS app if you are wanting to view the game without going to the game. So hope you can get the app. Again, it's about $70 for the year. I think there is a prorated cost, but still, you've got a long basketball season. Again, most of the schools we play in their gyms now have the NFHS app, so it's well worth it. You can go watch your next opponent if you would like to and just kind of see what you're going to be up against. So it's probably worth it.
Well, I mean, it's $70, you know, for a year. I mean, you're
all over the country. You can watch games.
Right. $6 a month, basically, in a sense. And I will say this as well is that, so then they play on Saturday, Leslie County. Again, we'll go on the air around 3 o'clock, tip off approximately 3:30. And then the Lady Pirates will have Morgan County at home on Monday. And then they will travel to Wolf County on Tuesday, December the 7th. And then they'll be away at Lincoln County on December the 9th.
Yeah, and we plan on the first four, which can include the Lafayette game, we plan on covering all those games up through the Wolf County game. And I think we have the boys Wolf County, which we'll talk about in a minute. I think that's on Wednesday. We're going to be busy in the next the next week. I think, that's four games in 5 days that we're going to be covering. So here on WSKV, or at least on the NFHS app. So. You know, you need to go purchase because I'm not sure what the ECSN broadcast team has. But again, those games are also available on the NFHS app.
That's honestly your best bet in order to make sure that you're going to be able to watch all the games that you want to.
Yes.
Because otherwise, we're not necessarily always going to be on the radio.
There'll be some games that we will have that we are on NFHS only, and Estill County will be on the radio. So if you know that ahead of time, go out and purchase that NFHS app.
Just be prepared.
Be prepared. We'll take a break, come back and talk about boys basketball after the break.
When you need insurance, contact Whitaker Insurance Group in Stanton, proud sponsors of the live broadcast of your Powell County Pirates on Pickup Country 104.9 FM.
The team at Appalachian Wireless wants to say thank you as they kick off the holidays with a special event, the Appalachian Wireless 30th Anniversary Holiday Sale. Appalachian Wireless is celebrating 30 years, and we want to say thank you with a holiday sale that will make everyone's holiday merry and bright. From now till the end of the year, visit us in-store or reserve online for an unbelievable sale and giveaway. We know what you want for the holidays because we are you. We are Appalachian Wireless.
And welcome back here to PCSN Live with Dave and Ken. And we're going to switch gears and go talk about the boys. Again, played their first game. Also, last night, they played at Morgan County. Again, I had the game on the NFHS app in the studio, in the booth. Kind of keeping track of the game. But I couldn't get into a flow because I was watching the girls. But I just tried to check the score. And Powell County had running clock at the end of the game. And defeated Morgan County, I think, by 36. I think it was 66 or 30.
Correct. Yeah, you're exactly right. And a great showing, you know, to come out first game of the season, to win big like you did with new head coach Alan Martin coming in, kind of taking over the helm. A nice victory, a great way to start. Obviously, things don't necessarily get any easier, but still an impressive victory, especially on the road.
Well, I saw a little bit of a Facebook clip also where – they show the locker room scene where they lifted up Coach Martin, kind of gave him a little bit of a dance, if you will, and put him on their shoulders. And I know these kids are hungry to win because of just a brutal year last year. And and a lot of folks like me have just said, okay, I don't think this team is still going to be really up there. But again, hopefully they will prove me wrong. I would love that again. Again, we had some success last night. Hopefully we will carry that forward. Again, they're off for a few days now, and probably a good thing for Coach Martin because I do know that he is expecting. Congratulations to Alan and the family. And I think if they didn't have it today or tomorrow, then I think they are maybe inducing Friday. So again, thoughts and prayers that go out to Alan and his family and hopefully a successful delivery sometime this week.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And definitely exciting. And again, a good way to start off the season. The Pirates actually shot 50% from the field, which is impressive. Anytime you can shoot above 35%, to me, that's what you're looking for. So 50%. And then they only shot 9 three-pointers, made 5 for 55.6%.
That's a nice night. Again, numbers down. I thought they would have more three opportunities than that. But again, this team's built a little bit differently than what we've seen in the past as well.
And even free throws, they made 17 out of 21 for 81%. Impressive. You know, anytime you're in the 80s collectively as a team, like to be the high 80s, but nonetheless in the 80s is a nice number.
We saw this group last year shoot, 58 to 61%, and that was a normal? Yeah, that's pretty nice.
And it goes back to, obviously, you got to practice, in order to keep improving. The Pirates were led in scoring by Jacob Townsend. He had 20 points, followed up by Chandler Congleton with 17 points. And then Jackson Hall had 10, and Colin Barnes tossed in 7. And then several other players, 2 points and 1 point down the line. But still, nonetheless, an impressive victory to be able to limit someone defensively to 30 points, and all of a sudden you're hitting at a high clip yourself. Again, it had to have been an excellent game for the Pirates to get started.
And I know there's probably some naysayers out there that said, okay, maybe Morgan wasn't that good. I don't really care that Morgan County maybe wasn't that good because you're looking at the numbers that you just talked about, the high shooting percentage that you had, the high free throw percentage that you had. I'm not sure about what the turnover numbers were, but again, if you just look at the base numbers and the shooting percentages that they had, that's something that you just kind of say, okay, good job, guys, because they did some things really well. Now, going forward, they'll play again, I think, is it Monday or Tuesday?
The 7th, Tuesday.
Tuesday the 7th is their next contest, so they've got a few days here to – I don't want to see these guys get a win and say they're happy and settle. I want to say these guys, okay, I want to prove Dave wrong. We're better than an 11-win team. I would love to see that. I love these kids, and I want to see them do well. I just didn't see it from what I saw last year. That's all we can kind of view. But I do think this group this year is better because of the experience they got last year, because all the young kids got to play a lot. The veterans are still playing. You got Colin Barnes back. So his addition plus all the experience they got last year bodes well for what they can do this year. And I'm talking about almost tripling their win total to get them to 11 or 12. To me, that's a good number, but I think these guys are shooting for something better than a lot better than that.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. And they play Williamstown on December the 7th at Williamstown.
And that's probably another winnable game for them.
Well, Williamstown is 2-0 on the season so far.
But last year, in the season, we played Williamstown. It was really close. If I remember correctly, we almost had them here. That would have been, I think, our first win of the season. I just think this team is ready to go up there and compete with that. At least Williamstown on the 7th, and then they play Wolf County on the 8th on Wednesday.
Yeah.
So I think that'll be their first big-time regional test for sure.
Yeah, and I think with the fact that they have the time off, you got a nice win, go back to the gym.
Work.
Exactly. Continue to work hard and forget about that victory, because that's just one of hopefully many more to come. Put your head back down, go at it.
It's just like the girls. They took a loss. But guess what? Go back in, get the gym, work hard on what you didn't do right, and get better. The boys are going to go take in what they did right and expand on that and get even better than what they were. So you can't ever rest on your laurels. If you are, you're going backwards.
Well, and the Pirates actually only had a couple of players that didn't even score. So the fact that he was able to go to the bench, get some players, some playing time to get that experience again. And that's one of the things they lacked a couple of years ago was their younger players didn't have the experience because it was a senior-laden team.
I don't see this team having any problem going 10 deep. I really don't. I think, you got Colin and Chandler who are bigger than everybody else. But other than that, man, you've got guys that are at least equal talent to the others or have a different strength. You've got your better defensive guys. You got some really good scorers. You've got a good mixture that can play and can trade in and out. I think what they have to offer is a deep bench that can put a lot of pressure on some people. And by the end of the game, you're still fresh in the fourth, where the other team may be run down a little bit.
True, and realizing, too, those players that are on the bench that don't necessarily get the start, guess what? At any time, your number could be called, and you better be ready to go.
Well,
and when you get that opportunity to prove that you deserve that time that you're actually getting.
And we've said this in the
past.
Can't
squander it.
We've got kids that are better off the bench than they are starters because they're trying to prove something as well. But, again, I think don't worry about if you're starting or not.
Correct.
The way I see this team, now I'm not saying that's the way Allen and Travis and all the guys see this team and Brad. It's the way I see the team. I see it as a group that could almost be interchangeable parts. I got 5 and 5. I'll rotate you all in and out if I need to. I'll do what I got to do. But you're all going to be needed to be a successful season. I can't just put 5 guys out there and say, okay, you're my 5. This team I don't think is built that way. This team is built for depth. I can rotate 10, 11 guys in. I'm not missing much of a beat. Be ready for that and know your role. And as long as the coaches are explaining it that way, I think that should be enough.
Yeah,
should be.
I definitely agree. I think you're right, too, to the extent that this is a deep team. A lot of talent on this team. They have to prove themselves. And, again, to me, it's irrelevant if somebody starts or not. Because guess what? Your name still gets marked if you get into the game. So who cares if you're in the opening tip-off in that regard?
To me, it's kind of look at the total minutes played.
Well, there you go. And what are you doing during those minutes? I don't care if you're in there for 1 minute to give somebody a breather before the end of the quarter or something.
They're important minutes.
That's exactly right. You better take advantage of that 1 minute. Do what's called on you to do, whether that's to play defense, make the shots, whatever it might be. Again, you do those in that short period of time, you might get more time the next time because you've proven yourself that you can come in off the bench.
As long as the kids understand what that role is and as long as it's clearly defined early on, at least that's my opinion. It's where I like to do things.
I would agree.
Give a definition to this is what I need from you. If you can give me this, we're successful and you're good to go. But I think those kind of roles like that, kids aren't happy with not playing at all. But if you give them a role and say, okay, I may need you this time, I may need you right at this point, at least the kid knows where they stand and know what they've got to work on. And when they do get in, like you said, you got to make the best of your opportunities.
And hopefully under the circumstances, that's exactly what they do. Obviously, Coach Martin He's had enough time with this group as the assistant coach last year. He knows his personnel. They obviously know him well enough as players, what's expected of him to be able to come in and be contributors. And ultimately, it's a team sport. And we talked about this before. Nobody necessarily remembers individual players. You remember teams and what those particular teams did in those given years. Again, don't worry about your own stats and trying to pad that as much as be a team player and let's collectively win together.
Yeah, we forget sometimes about, you know, Travis Crabtree, a good player here. He's been an assistant coach here in Powell County for about 15 years.
Been a long time.
I mean, I'm not saying Travis is old, but now he's been at this role for quite a while, helping the Pirates out. And for him to fall back, for these guys to be able to fall back on Travis's knowledge and what he could do and what he could help his team, I tell you what, I think it's a huge asset for Allen to have on the bench. Is another guy that's been here for a long time, and he knows these kids just like Allen does. And I think going forward, that's a good mixture.
Well, and even Brad, as far as his youth, you know, it wasn't that long ago that he actually just graduated himself and realizing that he's out there teaching now, but still wasn't that long ago that he was actually there.
We still call him a kid, right?
Well, you know, in a sense, you know.
I still call Travis a kid because he was one of my first groups that I coached in basketball. And I tell you, it's just, you look at these guys now and they're successful adults and you're proud of them. And, you know, they're into coaching and I'm still proud of them as a kid. So. I'm very proud of who we have here leading our teams. I just hope everybody just stays patient with them. Again, I'm going to give you my viewpoint, and just don't get mad at me or don't get too mad at me. Use it for fodder if you need to, but I'm just going to give you my opinion and go on, and I'll tell you the same thing to your face I'll tell you to, on the radio side.
Well, and on one hand, too, with each one of these coaches on the boys team, they all played.
Yes.
They all played for Powell County. So the players that are currently playing, guess what? There can't be any excuses in a sense because guess what? They've already been in that role themselves to know what it takes in order to be successful.
They're going
to
bleed Pirate Red, and I am so proud that we've got to the point to where we trust local people to take our teams and move them forward. I just love that opportunity for these guys, and wish them all the best of luck on the girls' side and the boys' side. Again, the first coverage we'll have on the radio side will be the Wolf County game on the 8th.
Correct. Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So I think we have four girls game before we have our first boys game.
So it'll be
on radio.
So the 7th is away at Williamstown, and then they're home on the 8th against Wolf County, and then on the road, right out of the gate on December the 10th at Owsley County.
Yeah. That's not a doubleheader this year. It's just a regular JV varsity game. And now next Wednesday we'll have PCSN Live prior to the game. Will either be in the booth to do PCSN Live or in studio, or at least one of us be in studio and be maybe a little back and forth. But again, we'll bring you both next week, PCSN Live, and then the broadcast of the game at 7 or 7:15-ish, whatever the start time will be. So, again, we'll take another break here. Be back in a moment with more on PCSN Live.
We value our customers at People's Exchange Bank, which is why we serve you with a staff of experts that are happy to meet your lending needs. We offer a variety of personal, small business, agriculture, and commercial loans, along with competitive rates and quick decisions. Your bank shouldn't compromise on your imagination, drive, and growth, so let us help move you forward with a loan from People's Exchange Bank. Get started and get going. Visit us online at www.pebank.com or stop by a local branch to find the loan that fits you best. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Ace Hardware, East College Avenue, Stanton, want to wish the best for your Powell County Pirates at their sporting events, in their academics, at home, or wherever life takes them. Next time you need an item for your lawn or garden, building needs, small or large project, plumbing, electrical, tools, including Craftsman, DeWalt, Husqvarna, and so much more, remember your Ace Hardware right here in Stanton, East College Avenue, Ace, the helpful place.
Pre-planning your funeral should be a natural part of life because it provides you with time to make end-of-life decisions in a calm and rational atmosphere. Start the online planning process now or meet with one of our pre-planning planning advisors here at Davis & Davis Funeral Home for your end-of-life celebration. We also offer tribute videos, memorial websites, and live funeral webcasting. Contact Davis & Davis Funeral Home to discuss the possibilities. Find us online at davisanddavisfuneralhome.com or visit us at 777 West College Avenue in Stanton.
We're going to flip some gears here, go to NCAA football, and we'll do this real quick. MLB will have a lockout starting tonight at midnight or 11:59. If you have a transaction they didn't be done before then, there have been some huge signings in baseball. Just check them out anywhere on the web or check them out on TV. But it's been kind of a fun kind of a week here or a few days for baseball and free agent signings and the such. But we'll talk a little bit about football. Got the bowl championship series coming up. You got number one Georgia going to take on number three or four. Alabama, and that to me that game is a huge game. More probably for Georgia. If they win, I think they're definitely going to stay where they are. If they lose that game, I think they probably still stay in the top four. Alabama would assure themselves staying in the top four. I think Alabama has to beat Georgia to stay in the mix. I really do. And then you've got also, depending on how the other games play out, you got Michigan taking on
Iowa or Iowa State. I can't remember which.
One of those two teams. So Michigan number
four.
Two. You're right. Yeah.
Michigan's two. They traded block. Places with Ohio State.
Michigan will play a lesser ranked team for their championship series. And I don't see a way in at all for Ohio State unless Michigan loses to one of the Iowas, and or Georgia beats Alabama as a possibility for them to get back in.
I can't see Ohio State in any scenario, to be honest.
Well, you're
with
probably
you.
Right. And then you got what?
Oklahoma
Cincinnati
State.
Cincinnati will play
Houston.
Houston. If
their
they
conference
lose,
championship.
They'll definitely be out of the mix.
Yeah.
And they are the third-ranked team, I believe, right now. So there are some ways if you're in that 5, 6, 7 to get into the top four, and I think those ways would be number one, Georgia beats Alabama, Cincinnati falls to Houston, and Michigan falls to one of the Iowas, every which one that is. But they all play a championship series, but two of them are in the top four. So three teams could move. If that happens, if Georgia beats Alabama and the other two lose, I think Alabama would stay in the top four. But you may see Ohio State come back in. Definitely a chance for Notre Dame and Oklahoma to get into that mix.
So it is Michigan and Iowa.
Iowa, okay.
That's 2 versus a 13. And then you have Cincinnati, Houston, 4 versus 21. Georgia versus Alabama, 1 versus 3.
So exciting.
And then you
football.
Have Baylor, number 9, versus Oklahoma State at number 5. So potentially if Oklahoma State takes care of business, and one of the teams in the top four loses, Oklahoma State has a chance to.
Yeah, they're going to have to take care of their own business and have help.
Yeah, and Notre Dame, I'm a Notre Dame fan, have been, you know, since I was a kid. They're sitting at number 6. They're not going to get any higher. They might go to 5 if somebody loses, but they're not going to get into the playoffs. I don't see that happening.
It would take multiple teams losing in the playoffs.
It would, seriously. In order for them to jump in. Yeah, you're exactly right. It would almost take the Alabama losing and Cincinnati losing.
And
Michigan
losing.
And at that point, you know, who even knows how that stands.
Yeah, if all three of those teams lose, there's a chance that Notre Dame gets in. Their record 9-1 also, or 10-1.
11-1,
I mean. Yeah. And then you got UK back in the top 25, depending on what poll you look at. Some have them as high as 22. Stoops locked in for another, 8 years, I believe. So he's not going anywhere now. He's locked in now with UK. And I tell you what, Kentucky football has grown. But we've got a couple more steps we've got to take if we want to be successful in the SEC. If you want to get up with Alabama and Georgia, we should say LSU, you got some more work you got to do. Got to get a little bit deeper. Get some more good skill guys on the outside to catch some passes. Other than that, I think they've got a good start on building a good program here at UK. Glad they locked up Stoops to get all the questions out of the air.
And I think on one hand, you know, there could be a team out there who still could be looking at Stoops as a possibility and be willing to buy out his contract under those circumstances. I mean, LSU still owes Ed Orgeron $16.9 million on a buyout.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just hard to even fathom. I mean, Yeah, okay, I'll not coach and make $16.9 million. Yeah, that works for me.
Yeah, with the way he left, though, I'm not sure he'll get all of that because I think there were some issues as well off the field with him that he may not see all of that money. But I like Coach O until he had the off-the-field issues. But, again, I like the signing of Stoops for committing for 8 years.
Agreed, yeah.
Those all the questions for your recruits, your transfer portal kids, all those kids now know Stoops going to be in charge of Kentucky if they want to come here. That opens that door. And, again, it closed the door that he's leaving. So, again, it's big for recruiting to know that. And I think that's a good thing for UK to get done.
I think on one hand, I think at this point, realizing he's been here as long as he has, he's finally getting – he has that solid foundation in a sense.
Yep.
Now they're continuing to build and continuing to improve. Now, are they going to compete against the Alabamas and the Georgias? You know, they're close. They're closing the gap.
You hope during that 8 years – is enough time where we could build something where they could be in that mix. I'm not saying they're going to be Alabama and be there every year, but I think you can get in the mix. You finish second in the East behind Georgia, but you're also the fifth or sixth rated SEC team, four rated higher on the Western side. And a couple of those teams have worse records than Kentucky.
And
so,
that's what's unfortunate with this particular team, too. And you and I talked about this, you know, throughout the season in a sense. You know, I thought 10-2, 9-3 would have been a good season for them. I didn't necessarily see them losing to Mississippi State and Tennessee.
Not both.
Correct.
One, yes.
Yeah, and especially, you know, for them to lose three games in a row starting with Georgia. They didn't show up for Mississippi State. They definitely didn't show up for Tennessee. And to me, for them to lose those games and to think they could potentially be in the mix – as far as a Big Six, you know, bowl game on New Year's
if
Day.
If they win one of those two and play the other one close, you're talking about a Kentucky team who could be arguably top 12.
I would agree with that. Absolutely.
And
yes.
And again, we're looking at them now at 22 to 25, depending on whatever poll you're looking at. But again,
it's unfortunate that they had that opportunity in front of them and didn't capitalize when it did. And it goes back to they had an off week before the Mississippi State game.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Stoops' record after a bye week is
phenomenal.
Not good.
It's not good?
No, it is not good.
I thought
good. After a bye week, it is not good, not what it should
so
be.
So they're better on the long breaks before the bowl games for the time to prepare, but not off the bright bye weeks.
Yeah.
Okay, I got you.
And again, under those circumstances, again, hindsight's 20/20, but still 9-3, there's a lot of UK fans that are complaining or whatever. 9-3, you're kidding me?
Yeah, but there are some things I think Stoops has got to improve on. His demeanor on the sideline, I think he's got to get better. Because I think he probably hurts the team as much as he helps them by arguing and just really talking to those officials pretty much like a dog. That, to me, has got to change a little bit. I think he's got to soften up on them. Maybe you get more blood out of a turnip than you do, you know, if you're nice to them. Maybe you get more. I don't know if you do or not, but anyway, exciting day Saturday for football fans, college football fans. Again, we're not yet into the playoff mix for NFL, so we'll get into that in the next couple of weeks. But for Ken and myself, we'll be back with you on Saturday, 3 o'clock at the Powell County High School, girls versus Leslie. We'll be out here Monday versus Morgan, Tuesday versus Wolf.
You're throwing me off.
I threw you off. Threw you a curve. I know Tuesday we got a game with the girls. For some reason, in my head is Wolf County, but I may be wrong on that.
So the boys are the 8th at Wolf, and the girls the...
Girls are at Wolf on the 7th, I think.
That's what it is. So the girls are,
yes,
are Monday, Morgan County, Tuesday, Wolf County.
Yes.
And then Wednesday, the boys are at Wolf County.
Oh, Wednesday, we're at... No, we're at home versus Wolf. The girls are away versus Wolf on Tuesday.
Correct. Yeah.
So
we'll get
but
it straight.
We should have it all here on the radio. Tuesday may be the only question mark, but it would definitely be maybe even on Facebook Live. We'll have to just check out the apparatus that Wolf kind of uses for the broadcast. But again, we'll see you soon starting Saturday here on WSKV. So thanks for listening to PCSN Live.
for joining us for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken right here on Pickup Country 104.9 FM. Streaming live at listenlikealocal.com or on your mobile device with the free WSKB app for Android and Apple users. Don't forget, tonight's program is available on our on-demand player at listenlikealocal.com. Powell County Sports Network would like to thank their sponsors, Whitaker Bank, Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Powell County CSEP, Mercy Health, Appalachian Wireless, Citizens Guaranty Bank, Park Regional Medical Center, Hinkle Contracting, Davis & Davis Funeral Home, Toyota South, Ace Hardware & Feed, People's Exchange Bank, Teddy Flint Attorney at Law, Whitaker Insurance Group, Protex Security and Fire Systems, and Apex Physical Therapy.
Stream the game to any internet-connected mobile device, made possible in part by Apex Network Physical Therapy, located at 156 West College Avenue in Stanton.
Attorney.